Psalm 24, and that's going to be the launching verse that we will use for next segment in our stewardship series. Psalm 24, and we're going to read verse number 1, and Mrs. Dawson is going to come up and sing for us. And then we've got another little video that we're going to show to you again. This one is called The Tides of Our Life. Not the times of our life, but the tides of our life. Amen. Psalm 24, everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any oh me's, you need a moment to get there? Amen. There should be a Bible in front of you as well if you don't have one. And let's read verse number 1 all together. It says, here we go. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You know, we've been talking about this stewardship series and the stewardship series of the tithes in particular. And we understand here that the earth is the Lord's. It belongs to him. The fullness thereof is the Lord's. It belongs to him. The world belongs to him. Then it says, and they that dwell therein. So that means the people belong to the Lord. And we've said that consistently over the past several weeks, which means all the treasure belongs to him, but also the troubles and the trials belong to him. Let's not get so caught up on saying, well, God just wants my tithe. No, God wants 100% of you. Amen. If he got 100% of you, then he has your tithes. And so you don't have to worry about that. And so he wants your trouble as well when you have those. He wants your trials as well when you have those. He wants the test that you go through as well. He wants everything that's going in on your life because it all belongs to him anyway. He just wants you to give him ownership of it so that he can help you steward through it. The tithe also is one of those things. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I trust God will bless in the message today, and you'll let God speak to your heart. I think many of us have many of our questions answered. Today we're just going to talk about the duty of the tithe. What does it go for? And I'm sure many of you already know what it goes for. We're going to say that just the same and trust God to work a marvelous work of grace after this message. There's one more left that we'll do the first week in April and look forward to that. Let's bow our heads and join our hearts for prayer. Father, thank you once again that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof is yours. The world is yours, but Lord, you let us inhabit this world and this earth, and you let us live here, and the fullness is yours, but although you've allowed us to have some things in it, Lord, those that dwell therein belong to you as well. And Lord, as we consider our lives this morning, Lord, they're but a vapor, but I pray that you would help us to be aware of the fact that our life belongs to you. And Lord, it's going to be spent in heaven above with you if we're born again, or it's going to be separated from you, paying the penalty of our sins if we're not accepting Jesus Christ and the penalty for sin. Oh God, I pray that if there is anyone today that has never accepted you as their Savior, they may have religion, they may have done some religious things, but Lord, ultimately, they've not accepted Jesus Christ and the payment for their sin. Help that person to see the truth of what you want from them today, and then help them be gloriously born again. And then for Christians, God, that are born again, God, I pray you would help us to see that you have freely given to us, and you want us to freely give back to you. Lord, we would understand the principle of the tithe, and Lord, we would practice it correctly, consistently, and regularly to be pleasing in your sight. God, I'm so glad that we don't have to give to be saved, but because we are saved, we do give. Thank you so much for giving to us first, Jesus Christ, your only blessed Son. Now help us today, Lord, to listen with great ears, open our hearts by the Holy Spirit's power, and show us the truth from the Word of God that needs to be seen once again. Speak to us now through the message and the song, and Lord, may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
gave you a lamb, and only his blood can cleanse sinful man. That lamb is Jesus Christ. He paid the price. I realized and paid. It took the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, to wash away my sins and make me whole again. It took the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, praise his holy name. Forever I've been changed. It took
some of the most memorable drama sketches performed at Shadow Mountain have been those during our stewardship emphasis. In the following sketch, you'll see a snapshot of the wide range of attitudes Christians have about tithing. When all is said or done, God blesses a cheerful giver. I hope you'll enjoy The Tithes of Our Lives.
It's here.
It's time.
No getting around it.
Yes, this will forever change our lives.
We will never be the same.
It's what gets things done.
Tithing. It's just something we have to do.
Okay, cut.
Oh, that was good.
What was that?
What was what?
Listen, you guys, where was the passion? You know, the excitement? You guys were not very convincing.
Look, I'm just having trouble finding this character.
And I'm just having difficulty finding the motivation behind my role.
Well, why are we doing this movie in the first place?
Yeah, it seems like it's much to do about nothing.
We don't even know what tithing's about.
Okay, well, tithing is giving a tenth of your income to the Lord. We're making this short film to help people understand about tithing. So let's try it again, okay? And I don't know, maybe this time try it with a little excitement.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay, roll sound, camera, and action.
It's here. It's time.
No getting around it.
Yes, this will forever change our lives.
We will never be the same.
It's what gets things done.
Tithing, it's just something we're excited about. Wait, cut, please.
What?
Cut.
Okay,
I'm not excited about this, and I'm not feeling my lines, and I think the audience is going to know it.
Yeah, I'm with you. It just wasn't right.
Yeah,
well, maybe we need to be a little bit more adventuresome.
Like an expedition for hidden treasure.
Yes.
You got to give to get, right?
That's right. You give something to God, and then you get rich.
Yeah. Right. Hey, can we try that? Maybe we could use some costumes and some props.
That'd be fun.
I guess so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sound, cue music bed for adventure.
Oh, wait. I just need a moment. Okay, I'm fine.
Okay, roll sound, camera, and action.
It's here!
It's time!
No getting around it.
Yes, this will change the rest of our lives.
We will never be the same.
It's what gets things done.
Tithing, it's an adventure!
Okay, cut!
No!
Yeah, that was good.
No. Perfect. Well, tithing's not an adventure. Well, is it tithing the law?
She's right. If we don't tithe, we'll end up in the spiritual clinker.
I think more people would get it if we did it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll try it that way.
Okay.
Sound, cue music.
Wait.
I
need a moment.
Okay. Okay. Roll sound. Camera, and action.
It's here.
It's time.
No getting around it.
This will change your life forever.
We will never be the same.
It's what gets things done.
Tithing! It's the law.
Okay! Cut! We'll print that.
No. No, you can't do that. Look, people aren't going to relate to crime and punishment.
Oh, come on, that was so much fun.
Yeah, really fun. Tithing, it's from the past. I mean, tithing is an old-fashioned practice, right?
Old-fashioned.
Okay,
yeah.
So maybe we should portray it as old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
I guess we could take it one more time.
Okay.
Sound,
hold
cue music.
It. I need a moment. Okay.
Okay, roll sound, camera, and action.
Guess what? It's time. It's here.
No getting around it.
Yeah, this will change our lives forever.
We ain't
It's how things get done.
Tithing. Why, it's a hoot and a holler.
Yeah. Cut! Cut! I'm sorry. But I don't think a hoot and a holler really describe tithing.
Look, I'm a professional, but you're just pushing us way too much.
Yeah.
I'm calling my agent.
Oh, hey, okay, hey, maybe I'm taking this too far.
I'm so afraid.
That's it. What? Fear. Isn't that why people give anyway, out of fear?
Oh, we can do fear.
Actors love fear.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with fear, okay? We'll do it this time. Okay, sound cue sad music.
Wait, I need a moment. Okay.
Roll sound, camera, and action.
It's here! It's time.
No getting around it. This could change our lives forever. We will never be the same.
It's what gets things done. Tithing! It's alive!
Okay, cut! That's it. I'm going over here.
No. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't like that. I remember reading in the Bible way back when that God says he loves a cheerful giver, and so maybe we ought to try it as cheerful and stuff like that. And you know what? My parents give and give and give all the time, and they're the happiest people ever.
Well, I think she's got a point. I guess when you tithe, you receive blessings, right?
Maybe that's why people who tithe give cheerfully.
Yeah. Happy to tithe. I guess I never really thought of it that way. Okay. Hey, we'll go with that. This, guys, is going to be our last take. Sound, cue cheerful music.
All right. Go.
I'm sorry. Does anybody need a moment?
No,
what are you talking about? Okay. Roll sound, camera, and action.
Tithing. It's here. It's time.
No getting around it.
Yes. This will forever change our lives.
We will never be the same.
It's what gets things done. Tithing. Let's give cheerfully.
Out of all the portrayals of tithing, I'm sure you found one that you identified with in the past, but hopefully the last one is the one that we're all identified with. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. And we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in our midst today. Amen. Today we're talking about the duty of the tithe. And let me just give you where we've been thus far. We've been talking about this area of tithing in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God definitely wants us to be cheerful in our giving. And God has given so much to us. And before we get into that, I want to show you something in Romans chapter 8. Because I want us to really reflect upon how we give. And if you look at what God has given to us, you'd be surprised. Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31. Paul here speaking to the church at Rome. And he says this in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? By the way, God is for us. Did you know that? Amen. God is not our enemy. He's not against us. Now, if we're in sin, he's against our sin. And he's against our sinful life, amen? But God is for mankind. That's why the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Notice verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Notice it says, freely give us all things. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if God asked me to give up one of my sons, I'd be hard-pressed. You say, well, preacher, you've got two. And I want both of them. Amen. And God gave up his only begotten son for you and for me. And he says, if he did that, will he not give us freely all things? What did it say in Psalm 24? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So everything belongs to God. But notice verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So in other words, he said, nobody's going to charge us with anything because God has justified us. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. It says, not just enough that he died for you, he's at the right hand of God making intercessions for you. Amen. What a blessing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? In other words, he says, you know, bad things happen to you. Is that going to separate you from that love? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You look at that verse of scriptures, and there's nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And that was all at the expense of Jesus Christ, who freely gave his life for yours and mine. Now think about that. He said, I came to do not my will, but the Father's will. And he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So when you're looking at this area of our stewardship of our finances, Jesus Christ gave all for us. And all he's asking back is a portion from us. You can't outgive God. Notice verse 32 again. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, you saw the one clip there. It said, it's the law. And they held up the badge. God doesn't really want you to give in that fashion because there's a law. God wants you to give and wants me to give because we love God, because we love him. And we see what freely he's given to us. And by the way, may I remind you, it's all his anyway. You know, it's like giving your children some money and your children don't want to share that money with you. Guess whose money that is? It's mom and dad's money. Amen. And so guess what? You have access to everything I have access to as long as you do what I'm asking you to do. Amen. And so you look at this thing and God is asking us to give back to him. And so that's what we're looking at here, the stewardship of the tithe. And let's give you just a quick synopsis of what we've covered so far. We noticed some difficulties or dilemmas prior to tithing or some things that make it difficult for folks to give that 10%. And then we looked at the definition of tithe. That is 10% of our income or 10% of our gross income, or any time we have a financial increase, God expects us to honor him by giving him 10% of that. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. And then we saw this, the definition, the defense of the tithe last week. And we found out that Christians really should not have to be the ones that tithing is defended to. Why? God has given to us everything already. Amen. But we saw that last week and we saw these points. We saw that tithing was practiced before the law was even instituted. The principle of that was taught to Adam and Eve back in the garden when God said, there's one tree that I don't want you to touch. And he gave them that principle back then. And then we saw that Abraham tithed before the law by principle as well. Jacob also tithed before the law by principle. We saw that last week. And then we saw not only was tithing practiced before the law, but it was practiced during the law according to Malachi. They gave according to what God said. He said, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that it may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, and hear which saith the Lord. And so we saw it there. Then we also saw that tithing was practiced after the law. You find Jesus in the New Testament approving of the tithe. And so as New Testament Christians, we should at a base minimum give 10%. Amen. Why? Most of the Christians in the New Testament gave more than 10%. They gave a whole lot more than that. Y'all don't seem too excited about that. Amen. How about if Jesus gave you 10% of eternal life? How about if he gave you 10% of heaven? How about if he gave you 10% of a body? How about if he gave you 10% of forgiveness of your sins? See, we don't like that side, do we? And so God says, give me 10%, and that's all I'm asking for. God could say, give me everything you got, amen, but he doesn't, amen. God is a fair God. He's a just God. God gave us 100% forgiveness of sin. He gave us 100% of heaven. He gave us 100% of a mansion. He gave us 100% of a glorified body. He gave us 100% of the Holy Spirit of God. He gave us 100% of the Word of God. He gave us 100% of the angels in charge. He gave us 100%. He didn't stop. He freely gave us all things. So how can we not give him just 10%? 10%. You say, preacher, 10%, what would I do? You trust God. Amen. You trust God. Amen. Today we're going to look at not just the defense of it and the dilemmas of it. We're going to look at the duty of the tithe. What does it go for? Because a lot of folks think, you know, back in the days, you know, preacher is going to get a Cadillac and he's going to be driving around in a Mercedes. He's going to be like Creflo Dollar, you know, and get him a jet or something like that. Amen. I have no use for a jet. I have no use for a Mercedes. I have no use for a Cadillac, although they're nice vehicles. Amen. They're very nice. I don't necessarily want one. But what does the tithe go for? What happens when you put your money in the offering plate? Does it just go into the abyss and just disappear? No. Aren't you glad we have financial meetings here where you find out where your money goes? Amen. You know where the tithe goes. You know what is being spent on. That's a blessing. Amen. The duty of the tithe. Go to Malachi chapter number 3, and I want to show us some things this morning. And trust God to work in our lives. Malachi chapter number 3. And I want to see some things here, because if you're looking at this from the love aspect, we cannot outgive God. And God has given to us everything. And so if we love God, we should want to give to God. And we're going to get through this. And notice down here in verse number 10, the duty of the tithe. God purposely set the tithe aside for the purpose of supporting the ministry. You'll never find God asking the unsaved world to come and support his ministry. Can I get amen? Amen. You never find God going to the Egyptians and asking them to finance his house. You never find him going to the Assyrians. You never find him going to any other nation saying, I want you to come in and finance my people. He always went to God's people. He went to his own people and said, look, you finance this because you're my people. Notice Malachi 3:10. He says, I bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that it may be meet in mine house, and prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there should not be room enough to receive it. In the book of Malachi, God says, bring ye. Ye, that was God's people. He said, I want you to bring it all in. Notice, bring means it's something that they were to do to be right with God. By the way, if everyone tithe, then it's up to God to make good on his promise. Let's just say, for instance, everybody in here made $10, period. Guess how much tithe that would be? $1. And if everybody gave $1, you say, preacher, how could we pay the bills? That's God's problem, not yours. Can I get an amen? What does it say? Bring ye how much of the tithe? All the tithe in the storehouse. And prove me now, here would say the Lord. So if everybody makes only $10, the tithe is $1, count you up, it's about 70 of you, that's $70. That's not going to pay the bills. But guess what? That's God's obligation. God just says, step out there and do what I tell you to do, and then I will make it happen. Many of you here don't know how we got this building. $495,000 was given to us to buy this building. We didn't have it. But you know, we had a faithful group of people that tithe and then gave sacrificially for this building. And God stepped out there and said, you keep all the money that you have gathered together, $80,000. You keep your $80,000. I'm going to give you $495,000. Amen. And let you keep the $80,000. Now, you can't beat God. You can't beat God. You can't outgive God. Now, what about if we just said, well, God, we got to save this money up so we can get our building, and so we're not going to give our tithe. God said, I'm under no obligation to bless you whatsoever. He said, but if you prove me now, he would say, Lord, and watch me open up the windows of heaven. See if I not pour you out a blessing. Many of God's people miss out on the blessings because we don't tithe. And we don't tithe consistently and correctly and week after week and day after day. Praise God for anyone that has tried, anyone that has got involved, anyone that has done it for any length of time. Praise God for you. But how much more blessed you'd be if you did it consistently. Amen. Amen. Say, preach, it's not one of those messages we like. That's not one of these messages I like to preach. But guess what? It's the whole counsel of God. Guess what? Man don't work, man don't eat. Hey, if I don't go to work, I shouldn't expect my bills to get paid. Can I get an amen? All right, so the duty of the tithe, amen. God says bring it all in, and it is to the people of God, could be right with God. If everyone tithe, then it's up to God to make good on his promise. We ought to bring, God is to bless, amen. We're the bringers, God's the blesser. No matter how small the tithe is, he states all the tithe, not part of it. What is it for? It's for the maintenance of our church. It's for the ministry and mission of our church, and it's for the ministers of our church. Let me just read you this right real quick here. And I went over this last week, so I'm not going to go in great detail. The maintenance of our church would involve things like the overall maintenance and upkeep of our facility. By the way, how many of y'all drove in this morning and saw it looking nice outside? All the weeds plucked up and looking nice, manicured, amen? You know that costs money? Amen? Y'all know it costs lights to money to get the lights on? Y'all know it costs money to get the AC on? Amen? It costs money to buy books and Bibles. It costs money. The maintenance of our church, we need lights, we need water, we need light bulbs, cleaning supplies, garbage bags, etc. Whatever it takes for your home, mark it down. It takes that for the church and then some. Amen? Say, preacher, what about diapers? It takes diapers too, diaper rash too, trash bags too. Amen? Snacks too. Haggai 1:9, they said this, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. The maintenance of our church, the ministry and mission of our church, our main goal is to get the gospel out and see people saved, to get people baptized and discipled and trained to do the work of the ministry. And that is our ministry and mission of this church. And it takes Bibles and Sunday school materials, nursery items, hymn books, sound system, gas, electric, heat, phone, bathrooms, insurance, and et cetera, just to run this church. Everything that it would take to run an organization, it takes to run the church. Y'all looking at me like, it does? It does. If you've never worked in a church office, you have no idea what goes on here. If you ever worked in a church office, you know what goes on. There's a whole lot. If you worked in any office, you know what goes on. Amen. There's a lot that goes on. And also goes for the visiting preachers, evangelists, ministry groups, and others that to edify the saints of God when they come for special meetings. And so it's for the maintenance of our church, the ministry and mission of our church, but also the ministers of our church. The man of God has a family, and those that work in the church get paid as well. Amen. Just like the priest of the Old Testament did. They survived on the tithe. Go to this scripture here, Numbers 18, with me real quick. Numbers 18. Hold your finger in Malachi. We'll be coming back there. Numbers 18, because a lot of folks say, hey, when the preacher gets paid, what does he do? Well, the preacher tithe too. Say, he does? Yes, he does. Show you this principle here. Notice Numbers chapter 18 and verse number 26. And Numbers chapter 18, he's giving him some guidance on how to give. And notice in verse number 26, he says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel. Now notice that. When you take of the children of Israel the tithe. Aren't you glad I don't take your tithe? In Europe, they take it just like an income tax. How many know what I'm talking about? In Europe, it's just like your income tax. Federal and state, they take out your taxes for your church. I had some colleagues that I worked with, some Germans, and they were upset that the Catholic Church was taking out this money automatically without their consent. And they were angry about that. Aren't you glad that God doesn't take yours? Notice what he says down there. He says, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I've given you from them of your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord. Notice this, even a tenth part of the tithe. He said, Levites, he says, when they come and bring their tithes into the storehouse, and I want you to tithe of that which they bring in. So the preacher tithe too. Amen. Everybody wants to be right with God. And so there is a tithing. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. When we're looking at the ministers of the church, 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse 17, want to give you the equipment that you need to make a choice to see what God has for you. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 17, and notice the Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. At one time, God had a scathing denunciation against the children of Israel because the priest had to go out and get jobs and had to tend to the fields and things like that because the people weren't bringing the tithes in the storehouse, and God had to come down against them and say, look, that's not right. The Levites cannot do their job now because they're out having to do these other things. And so the duty of the tithe is there for the maintenance of our church, is for the ministry and mission of our church, and for the ministers of our church. And then it's God's job to bless the church once the church has done what they ought to do. Now, I want to do something here. Go back to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 8, 9, and 10. I want to delineate some things here. I want to go back and see the Old Testament, New Testament, to see the differences, because the New Testament giving was different than the Old Testament giving. Are we under law? No, we're not under law. But Romans says this, whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So in other words, it's our guide, it's our example. In Malachi chapter 3, notice he says, even from the days, verse 7, from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But she said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yeah, ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, I want to draw your attention to that last sentence in verse number 8, in tithes and offerings. Because when you look at the duty of the tithe, it was different in the Old Testament than it was for the New Testament. Listen to this. When you consider the mandate on the tithes and the offerings of the Old Testament, you must differentiate the tithes and the offerings of the Old Testament and the tithes and offerings of the New Testament. They were both scriptural, but they were different. Tithing in the Old Testament was for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work, which we just discussed, and it was responsible for the things inside the family of God. Notice what he says in verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in where? Mine house. So the tithe in the Old Testament was for inside the house of God, for the family of God to get the job done. Everybody follow me? There's another word there. He says down there, tithes and offerings at the end of verse 8. Offerings in the Old Testament were sometimes voluntary and sometimes they were not, and they were primarily used not for the ministers and the ministry and the maintenance of God's work, but for the manufacturing of more and the meeting of needs. Hold your finger there. Go back to Exodus 35. That's where we're at this morning. Some offerings were mandatory, others were not. The one in Exodus was not a mandatory offering. It was there to manufacture more. Preacher, what were they manufacturing? They were there to manufacture the tabernacle where God would meet with them. By the way, when it came down to this building, you know what it wasn't? It wasn't our tithe that we use. What did we use? We used sacrificial giving above the tithe. Why? It was for the maintenance, it was for the manufacturing of a bigger building. Notice Exodus 35. And notice verse 4 again. Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. What did he say? An offering. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And he tells you what's needed there, verses 7 through 9. Notice verse 10. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. And those are the things that I read earlier, verses 11 through 20. And notice down there in verse number 21, and they came, everyone who stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. What were they doing? They were manufacturing more. They were building something else. And so God said, I want only people that are willing to do this. Now, did he say that for the tithe? No, he said the tithe is mandatory. But now the offering is different. And so the tithe stayed inside for the family of God. The offerings also in the Old Testament stayed inside for the family of God for the manufacturing of more. Everybody follow me? Do I lose somebody? Amen. The offerings were sometimes voluntary and sometimes not. It was primarily used for manufacturing more. So we've got two things here. Tithe, which was for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work, and it was inside the family of God. Offerings, then, were sometimes voluntary, sometimes not, and they were for the manufacturing of more and meeting needs for things inside the family of God. Keeping with the Old Testament principle, tithing in the New Testament was for the same reason. For the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work, and primarily for things inside the family of God. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we looked at this one last week. So, preacher, why are we looking at this? Because I want you to know what the duty of the tithe is, where it's going. And notice Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 42. He says, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone." So Jesus gave the approval of the tithe there. He said, you should have done this, but he said, make sure you don't go over the judgment and the mercy and do those things as well. And so the tithe over there we see was also for the family of God. And we saw 1 Timothy 5:17. He said, let the elders be kind of worthy of double honor. But now, what about the offerings? Offerings, you'll find, are going to be much the same principle as it was in the New Testament. Go to John chapter 19, an area you probably never even consider going to when it talks about an offering. John chapter 19. Again, in the Old Testament, tithes and offerings were voluntary. Sometimes they were not. The tithe was always mandatory, but the offerings were not. Case of an offering in John chapter 19 and verse number 39. Joseph of Arimathea is about to receive the body for Jesus Christ. And with him is Nicodemus. Notice verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about, how much? 100 pound weight. You know what that is? It's an offering. It's an offering. That's above the tithe. That's not his tithe. That's above his tithe. That's something that he did additionally and sacrificially and willingly. Malachi said, bring all the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse. The Old Testament, there's an offering right here. Go to John chapter 6 and verse number 9. So, preach, what am I saying? I'm saying, first of all, to be right with God, you tithe at a base minimum. You give 10%. To give an offering, you give anything above their tithe. And it stays inside the family of God. John chapter number 6 and verse number 9. I'm just going to be right with God. Of course, we know this scenario when Jesus wanted to feed the multitudes. Verse 9, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they amongst so much? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus did what? Took the loaves. You know what that is? An offering. That's an offering. That's above his tithe. That's not his tithe. That's above his tithe. That's something additional that he wanted to give. And what again? It's staying inside to meet needs in the family of God. You follow that? Tithes and offerings in the Old Testament always stayed inside the family of God. The tithes was there for the ministry, the missions, and the maintenance of the temple. And then the offerings were always there to manufacture more, meet needs. You come to the New Testament, the tithe was for the same thing, for the ministry, the maintenance, and the ministers. But then the offerings were always to meet needs or manufacture more. Y'all with me? Show you another example here. Go to Acts chapter 3, probably one of the most famous ones. Acts chapter 3, this is the start of the early church. Again, I want us to understand what the difference is between the Old Testament giving and the New Testament giving. Acts chapter number 3, we find here, I'm sorry, Acts chapter number 4. I'm sorry, Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, verse 44. Notice the Bible says, and all that believed were together and had all things, what? Common. And did what? Sold their possessions and goods. And did what? Parted them to all men as every man had what? Need. What is that? It's an offering. These folks had some things and they said, look, I'm going to sell what I've got to distribute it so that everybody can have something. This is above their tithing. This is an offering. It's a sacrifice that they made themselves and they committed to. Now come over to chapter number 4. And in chapter number 4, notice verse number 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land. This is a totally different account. Possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down where? At the apostles' feet. What's that? It's an offering. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had what? Need. So in the New Testament, the tithe always went for the ministry, the mission, and the maintenance of the house of God. The offerings always went for meeting needs and manufacturing more. You follow that? And the New Testament is the same as the Old Testament, that principle there. Okay? Show you one more area here. Verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted as son of consolation, a Levite, and the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and bought the money and laid it where? At the apostles' feet. What's that? It's an offering. It's an offering. Is that his tithe? No, that's not his tithe. It's above his tithe. It's a sacrificial gift. Barnabas was about to go into the missions field. And so Barnabas said, look, I'll give it all. I'll give it all. Okay? So now you look at the tithe in the Old Testament for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work. It always stayed inside the house. He said, in mine house. The offerings always stayed in inside the family of God. It was voluntary, and most times it was voluntary for manufacturing of more and for meeting of needs. New Testament, the same principle. Ministry, a minister in the maintenance of God, inside the family of God. Offering, same thing, inside the family of God. However, there's a change. What did I leave out? Missions. The Old Testament saints were never mandated to reach the world with the gospel. So therefore, they didn't need to finance that. New Testament Christians did. He said, go ye therefore and teach how many nations? All nations. Baptize them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, preach the gospel to how many creatures? Every creature. Acts 1:8 says what? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses where? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and into Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what it takes to get that gospel there? Finances. The Old Testament saints were never, ever commanded nor mandated to reach the world with the gospel, so they didn't know anything about that financial commitment at all. They only knew about tithes and offerings, and their tithes stayed inside the family of God for the ministers, the maintenance, and the ministry that they did. And the offerings always was to manufacture more, to build a temple or whatever it was, or to meet needs. We come over to the New Testament then, and the tithe went to the same thing, the minister, the maintenance, and the mission of the program there. But then the offerings were always there to manufacture needs and to manufacture more and meet needs. And it stayed inside. The missions does not. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, those financial commitments stayed inside the family of God. He said, meet in mine house over here. Over here in the New Testament, it's the same thing. What is the difference? The New Testament saints have a different mandate than the Old Testament saints that goes outside the family of God. The Old Testament saints were never mandated to reach the world. Tithes and offerings stayed inside the family of God, both Old Testament and New Testament, until the mandate to reach the world was recognized and realized. The Old Testament saints then had an obligation to reach the lost as mandated by Jesus Christ. And so the New Testament saints have three giving opportunities: the tithe, the offering, and the missions. The tithe, of course, that goes without saying. The offering is whatever you want to give. By the way, some people have given me gift cards to give out to needy families. What is that? Meeting a need. Some folks say, hey, preacher, you know, I've got some extra cash here. Who could use some cash? So I want to put in an envelope and give it to so-and-so anonymously. And they put an envelope. That's an offering. Some ladies here cook meals for people when they go to the hospital. Guess what that is? That's an offering. Anything that I do above my tithe is an offering and can be considered an offering. Y'all with me? Okay. So we've got tithes and offerings on the Old Testament, all staying inside the house of God. One ministry, missions and the maintenance. One is to manufacture more to meet needs. Oh, the New Testament, the same thing. I've got my ministry, my missions, and my maintenance here. And that's all stays inside the family of God. Then I've got my offerings to manufacture more to meet needs. All stays in the house of God. But then I've got to consider reaching the world and giving to that. Now,
Do I have to give to reach the world? No, I don't. It's an offering. It's willing. Did they have to give in the Old Testament to help manufacture the temple? No, he said, if you're willing, do it. You don't have to do it. Now, every Christian should do it just to be right with God because of what he's given you. And that's why I read the verse, he's freely given us all things. And so we should at least be able to give a dollar. By the way, a dollar is an offering. I don't care how. Now, it shows the condition of your heart. Amen. You want a dollar blessing, you give a dollar. Amen. That's all you got. That's a whole lot if that's all you got. Amen. All right. So let's look at these examples real quick. Amen. The tithes inside the family of God stays in. The offering stays in. And now let's look at some examples in the New Testament to meet this outside obligation that we have. Of course, we have Paul the apostle as one of those that was a missionary. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 14. And I hope I'm not losing anybody today. The Old Testament had their offerings, but they went with inside the house of God. Philippians chapter number 4. Paul here speaking to the church at Philippi. And the church at Philippi, he says this in chapter number 4 and verse number 14. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Excuse me. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, notice this, no church communicated, that means to share, with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in where? Thessalonica, ye did what? Sent once and again into my necessity. So what did they do? They took the money out of their church and they sent it outside the church to help Paul. What is that? That's missions. That did not stay inside the church. And so tithes and offerings, first and foremost, stays inside to meet the needs. But then missions is separate. It goes outside. Y'all follow me? Now, you don't have to give to this one. You don't have to give to this one. But every Christian should give an offering inside the church, however small it may be. Because he said, you have robbed me, even this whole nation, in tithes and offerings. Okay? And so Paul said, you know what? He says in verse 17, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul said, this is for your benefit. This is for your good. This is to help you out. So a New Testament Christian basically has three offerings he could partake of. The tithe, which is mandatory, but should be done out of love to meet the needs of the ministers, the ministries, and the maintenance. And by the way, you heard in that video, it gets things done. It does. It gets things done. I gave you guys the illustration last week. There's a church that's closing down its doors because the people didn't tithe. And so the building is foreclosed upon. Guess what? Do we all share this building? Yeah, we do. Should we all help with this building? Yeah, we should. Say, preacher, how do I do my part? Tithes. How do I help manufacture more? Offering. How do I help with missions? Give specifically for missions. As you said. Offerings should be done to meet special needs inside the family of God to manufacture more, now however small that may be, to get the job done. And then finally, offerings that should be to go outside the family of God, specifically designed to reach the world with the gospel in obedience to God's mandate of reaching the world. Again, the main thing is to get the gospel out. So when you're looking at this area of tithes and offering, I want to make it clear that there's a separation, there's a distinction. The New Testament Christians gave more than the Old Testament Christians. They gave more just by percentage. Why? Because they had a mandate to reach the world. The Old Testament Christians never had that mandate to reach the world. Does that make sense? You hear preachers say all the time, well, the New Testament Christians gave more. We look at all the gold and the jewels and all the stuff that David and those guys gave. But guess what? They gave it one time for a temple. Once that was done, guess what? They didn't do that anymore. Until the next temple thing came up. With missions, people are dying every day without Jesus Christ. And so that is a continual need for you and I to give money to missions. Right now, our goal is $90,396 for worldwide evangelism. Say, preacher, what's our goal here? Preach to everybody that we can, reach everybody we can, each one of us doing all we can, whether it's with our feet or with our finances. We've collected $24,031 so far. So we're well on our way of getting the gospel out. But guess what? People are still dying without Jesus Christ. And people still need to be saved. and people still need to hear the gospel. Say, preacher, what is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Folks, it is not about Alex got baptized a couple weeks ago. Praise God for him. Glory to God. That's great. But baptism doesn't save a person. We're having communion tonight. Praise God for communion. It shows us that Jesus Christ died for our sins, but taking communion doesn't save you. Putting a wafer in your mouth and drinking the juice does not save you. Consuming that does not make a person saved. Being the best person I can be is not going to save me. People need to hear Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the mission of the church is just that. And the tithes go to support this ministry. The offerings go to help meet needs, but the special offerings go outside so that people can hear that God loves them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what the gospel message is about. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So when you're looking at the tithes and the offerings of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was totally separated when it came to reaching the world because the Old Testament never had that mandate. And I pray that I gave you some examples that you could say, okay, yeah, it makes sense to me. Now, if it doesn't make sense to you, please talk to me about it so I can share with you what the Bible has to say. This is not a preacher mandated thing. People look at it and say, well, preacher, you just want our money. Hell, preacher don't want your money. God wants his church to be operating, though. I can tell you that. By the way, if nobody else tithe, the people that got saved here should. You're indebted to the people that gave before you. If nobody else here tithe, Bethel Baptist Church gave so that this church could be started. That's why we're having the Founders Day next month when Dr. Nelson comes April 3rd on that Sunday evening. Why? Dr. Nelson and his church gave so that this church could be. And so, therefore, we have three great opportunities that we can give. Our tithe that goes for our ministry, our ministers and our maintenance. Then we've got the offering that goes to meet special needs inside the family of God. And then the offering for the missionaries that goes outside the family of God. And those are totally different from what the Old Testament Christians had. And preacher, why do you say all that? Because I had somebody ask me and say, can I use my missions money as my offering equivalent to tithes and offerings in Malachi? No, because they never had to give outside the church. They never had to give outside the church. So I can't take my missions money and say, I'm going to use that as my offering to manufacture more inside the house of God, because that's not what it's there for. Does that make sense? It's there to go outside the church. Instead of go outside the church, or it's there to meet the needs associated with going outside the church. Most of our traveling groups that come here, guess what? They're financed out of our missions program. Our missionaries, they're financed out of our missions program because that's outside. But inside is our tithes and offering. You know, I hope that makes sense to you folks, but I tell you this, all of that aside, God wants us to be cheerful givers. God didn't want you to give grudgingly like these guys were giving up there. He didn't want you to give haphazardly with the yee-haw attitude or the adventure attitude or the give-to-get attitude. God wants you to give because you love him. You love him. Why do you give to your children? You love your children. And you see your child has a need. And so because you love your children and you see they have a need, you give. God has freely given us Jesus Christ. Down our sins. Now, if you don't have your sins forgiven, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But if you don't have your sins forgiven, let me talk to you just for a minute. You need to. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He died. That's what Easter is all about, his resurrection, raising from the dead, dying for your sins and my sins. He was nailed to a cruel cross for you and for me. Talk about love. That's the greatest love. Greater love hath no man than man lay down his life for his friend, the Bible says. And so God doesn't want your tithe this morning if you're not born again. He wants you. He wants you to recognize that without him, you can't get to heaven. You can't be good enough. You can't join enough churches. You can't get baptized enough. You can't keep the golden rule. You can't pray enough. You can't do anything except fall in the mercy of God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And once you get saved and you experience the love of God, You will want to give once you understand how much Jesus Christ gave for you. You will want to give. And plus, once you find out you can't outgive God. Never could, never will. Folks, I hope this was a blessing to you. The next time we're going to talk about the dividends to tithing. You know, we talked about you giving. Now, what do you get back in return? That's what everybody, well, I want that message. Yeah, I want that one. What do I get back? Well, hell, okay, we'll show you that on April 3rd. Well, what do I get in return? And by the way, Malachi, he said, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me not here with said Lord. See if I would not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. I would rather have the window open than to have it trickle. How many of y'all have left your window open and it rained inside the house? That's a trickle. But imagine if you open your window, somebody shoot a fire hose through there. That's a pouring out. God wants to pour out the blessings in your life. Hey, if you're here without Jesus Christ, he wants to pour salvation in your life. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to make sure that you're going to heaven. He wants to spare you from that place called hell, because there is a judgment day coming. There is a judgment day coming. The Bible says it's appointed to men once to die, but after that, it's judgment. You want to be saved today. Don't wait till tomorrow. And if you're saved today, start tithing. If you're tithing, start tithing consistently and correctly off your gross income. And if you're doing those things, keep doing those things. Keep doing those things. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment this morning. Talk about the duty of the tithe. The tithe and the offering is basically the same in the Old and New Testament as far as meeting the needs of the ministers and the ministries and the maintenance and the manufacturing of more for the offerings. But those were all inside. The New Testament, though, had that third option that they could get involved in. That's missions. And I don't know what you've been involved with today, and I don't know what your involvement is. But I do know this, that God is never going to be your debtor. And God loves a cheerful giver. And God will bless if you'll give. But I also know this. If you're here without Jesus Christ this morning, Jesus wants to give to you. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to save your soul today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, you know, if I died right now, I am not 100% confident that I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not absolutely confident. Would you pray for me that I can get that thing settled today? I'm not 100% confident. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all across this auditorium. You'd raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. You raise your hand, man, woman, boy, or girl. I'm not confident that I'm a Christian today. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You'd raise your hand. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure. I want to be sure, but I'm not sure. Pray for me. How about this, then? Preacher, you know, I've learned some things today, and I want to tithe correctly and consistently. Would you pray for me that I can be the correct, consistent tither that God wants me to be? Pray for me, preacher. You raise your hand. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone at all? Amen. I see a few hands. Amen. Amen. We all should be. We all should be. And lastly, you might say, preacher, you know what? As God lives, I've been faithful, and I want to keep being faithful. Would you pray that the adversary doesn't come and knock me off my pathway of faithfulness? Pray that that doesn't happen, preacher. Would you pray for me? You raise that hand. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Folks, I'm telling you, we have a real adversary. You may put him down. We have a real adversary, and he will do everything in his power to do that. We're going to have a hymn invitation here in just a minute. But if God spoke into your heart, why don't you let God have his way with you today? The tithe is not something that we should be afraid of. It's not something that we should be forced into. But it is something that I should do. And do with a cheerful heart, knowing that God is going to bless. Father, work in the hearts and the minds of the men, women, boys, and girls that are here today. Lord, it's never an easy thing to talk about finances. But Lord, it is a biblical issue that we must discuss. And it is something that you told us to do. And Lord, I pray that you would help those that are consistent. They've been consistent. They want to stay consistent. They want to stay faithful, God. I pray for them today that you would rebuke the devourer for their sakes. And those that said they want to continue doing it and start doing it and get back up and continue and be faithful, Lord, I pray for them as well. They would have that wherewithal to see that they can do this consistently and correctly and not give up on it. Lord, maybe there's some that never did it before, and they are contemplating the blessings, God, and I pray that they would do it as well and see your blessings. And then, Lord, there's maybe someone here that's not saved. They don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You don't want their 10%. You want all of their soul. You want their heart so they can be saved. And I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, Lord. Bring them to the position where they see they must have Jesus Christ. The payment of their sin. Without him, they can't get to heaven. All the money in the world will never buy their sin away. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, work in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We're looking around as the music plays. Maybe God spoke in your heart about any area. Maybe it's something totally different. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're looking around. You move. Maybe you need to come down and maybe join this church. Maybe you need to come and surrender for baptism. Maybe you need to come down and say, Lord, keep me faithful. Maybe you need to pray for a church family member. Whatever it is, would you come? Would you move? Maybe you say, I've never been saved before, preacher. I need to be saved today. I do want to go to heaven. I've been religious, but I cannot say that I've actually trusted Christ as my Savior. Oh, I've been baptized like Alec. I've gone through communion like we're having tonight. But I've never repented of my sins. I've never changed the direction. I never put my faith and trust and confidence in Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And if I die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? You might be religious, but are you righteous? You may be baptized with water, but are you baptized by the Holy Spirit of God? And baptized into the body of Christ? You may be a member of a church, but are you a member of heaven? How about it? Let God speak to your heart. Next time is the dividends of the tithe. What do I get in return? We see the defense of it. It should not even be defended, but it was. The duty of it is 10% of my gross income anytime I have an increase. The duty goes for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance. It goes to manufacture more, meet needs. There's also a special offering outside the house of God. We call it missions. What is that need that you have today? So let God speak to your heart. Let God speak to your heart. I'll go with him all the way. We have one more stanza and we'll close. Where he leads me, I will follow. Say, preacher, what if he leads me into a place where it doesn't seem like I can pay my bills? He said, put me down here, said the Lord. See, if I not open you the windows of heaven. But first, he wants you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your heart that you had for us. Lord, you've freely given us all things. You spared not heaven's best. You gave us Jesus Christ. And God, as we are recipients of heaven's best, Lord, help us to give back to you that which you've given to us. What everyone can give is just doing it. Lord, every one of us can give consistently and correctly. It's just doing it. Lord, every one of us can be faithful. It's just doing it. You didn't give us 10% of your blessings. You gave us 100%. God, help us give you 10% of that which rightfully belongs to you when you own 100% of it. And God, help us to see you work in the Shining Light Baptist Church, individual lives, and then collectively as a church. And Lord, help us to do our part to be faithful to you. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for just giving us heaven's best. Dismiss us now with your blessings. Brother Hall, if you would come and